1982, David Marsden, a pioneer investigator of movement disorders, suggested that writer's cramp was an expression of disordered function in the basal ganglia, and that the disorder was akin to dystonia. The term dystonia had long been used for certain twisting and posturing spasms of the muscles, such as torticollis. It is typical of dystonias, as of Parkinsonism, that the reciprocal balance between agonistic and antagonistic muscles is lost, and instead of working together as they should, one set relaxing as the others contract, they contract together, producing a clench or spasm. Marsden's suggestion was taken up by other researchers, most notably Hunter Fry and Mark Hallett at the National Institutes of Health, who launched an intensive investigation of task-specific focal dystonias, such as writer's cramp and musician's dystonia. But rather than thinking of these in purely motor terms, they wondered, too, whether rapid repetitive movements might cause a sensory overload, which could then cascade into a dystonia. At the same time, Frank Wilson, who had long been fascinated by the speed and skill of pianists' hands and the dystonic mishaps that could befall them, found himself thinking in general terms of the sort of control systems which would have to underlie the repeated, automatic performance of very fast, intricate sequences of small, precise finger movements, with the activity of agonist and antagonist muscles in perfect reciprocal balance. Such a system, involving the coordination of many brain structures, sensory and motor cortex, thalamic nuclei, basal ganglia, cerebellum, would be operating, he argued, at or close to its functional capacity. The musician in full flight, he wrote in 1988, is an operational miracle, but a miracle with peculiar and sometimes unpredictable vulnerabilities. By the 1990s, the tools had become available for a minute exploration of this question, and the first surprise, given that focal dystonia seemed to be a motor problem, was to find that cortical disturbances in the sensory system were indeed of crucial importance. Hallett's group found that the mapping of dystonic hands in the sensory cortex was disorganized both functionally and anatomically. These changes in mapping were greatest for the fingers which were most affected. With the onset of dystonia, the sensory representations of the affected fingers started to enlarge excessively and then to overlap and fuse, to de-differentiate. This led to a deterioration in sensory discrimination and a potential loss of control, which the performer, usually, would fight against by practicing and concentrating more, or by playing with more force. A vicious cycle would develop, abnormal sensory input and abnormal motor output exacerbating each other. Other researchers found changes in the basal ganglia, which, with the sensory and motor cortex, form an essential circuit for the control of movement. Were these changes caused by the dystonia, or were they in fact primary, disposing certain susceptible individuals to the problem? The fact that the sensory motor cortex in dystonic patients also showed changes on the normal side suggested that these changes were indeed primary, and that there was probably a genetic predisposition to dystonia, which might become apparent only after years of rapid, repetitive movements in adjacent muscle groups. In addition to genetic vulnerabilities, there may be, as Wilson has pointed out, significant biomechanical considerations. The shape of a pianist's hands and the way he holds them, for example, might play a part in determining whether or not, after years of intensive practice and performance, he gets a dystonia. The fact that similar cortical abnormalities can be experimentally induced in monkeys has allowed Michael Merzenich and his colleagues in San Francisco to explore an animal model of focal dystonia and to demonstrate the abnormal feedbacks in the sensory loop and the motor misfirings that, once started, grow relentlessly worse. Could the cortical plasticity that allows focal dystonia to develop also be used to reverse it? Victor Candia and his colleagues in Germany have used sensory retraining to re-differentiate the degraded finger representations. Though the investment of time and effort is considerable, and success is not certain, they have shown that, in some cases at least, this sensorimotor retuning can restore relative normality of finger movement and its representation in the cortex. A sort of perverse learning is involved in the genesis of focal dystonia, and once the mappings in the sensory cortex have gone wrong, a massive act of unlearning is needed if a healthier relearning is to occur. And unlearning, as all teachers and trainers know, is very difficult, sometimes impossible.